to see you making progress. Most people have a crawfish mentality. That when they see you about to crawl over, you know, about to move into another arena, they reach right up and pull you down and say, you ain't going nowhere. Right. Stay in the bucket with us. You understand? There are people around you. So you had to discern people around you that are hindering you. People that are always tempting you to do wrong. People that are always taking you in the wrong direction. People that's always, amen, introducing things to you that get you out of sorts, that rob you of your peace.
K-A-Y-T and K-Q-J-O-F-F. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock. Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Hallelujah. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the privilege now of hearing your word. As we turn our attention to the text, let the Holy Ghost do in the text as only he can. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to practice the principles we learn in your word, that we might be all you've called us to be, to do all you've empowered us to do. And we give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
I want us to turn our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 19 and verse 30. And I want to deal with part two of this text today, talking about a word of triumph. St. John, chapter 19, verse 30. And the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. My brothers and sisters, when we look at this word that is before us, it is no unfamiliar word, but I do pray that we would focus our attention on what the Spirit of the Lord is trying to make quite clear to us in this word that says it is finished. This word of triumph, this word of victory, this word that is a word that overcomes obstacles, this word that is a word for the believers. One of the things that I want us to note, because in this verse and recorded in this text, is the reality that when Jesus said it was finished, it brings to view the finished work of Calvary. All that he came to planet Earth to do was wrapped up in it is finished, as it related to the salvation or the penalty payment that he himself would pay in the dying on the cross. What is important is that we recognize that even before he died, he shouted a word of triumph. It was a victorious word. It was not a word of a victim, but rather a word of a victor. Jesus had spoken to his disciples and had already made clear, no man taketh my life, but I lay it down. If I lay it down, I can take it up again. Jesus had already made clear that he could tear down the temple and in 3 days build it back up again. Jesus had already told them that he was getting ready to go back to the Father, and he wanted to make sure that they had all things sufficient and in order before he left. The verses that precede verse 30 reveals that Jesus got all of his housekeeping chores together first, put all of his business in order first. And when he had finished the fulfillment of Scripture, he says, it is finished, a clue to the fact that it was talking about his work, not his worth. When he says, it is finished, he was not referencing himself, because it is clear through further scripture that he wasn't saying, I am finished. And so you need to see that even in circumstances, troubles, trials, tribulation, places where it seems all hope is gone, being in a place where there seems not to be an answer or a light at the end of the tunnel, as a victor, if you're capable of faith and speaking faith, you can speak beyond what you see, beyond where you are, and beyond what's going on in your life, as Jesus did with this victorious word. Now let's look at some of the things in this word today. There are four areas that I want us to consider in this one verse. First of all, the word of completion is right here in this word. It is finished. It is completion. For it is the same word, tetelestai, that the high priest used when he came out from behind the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, having brought the pan of blood that was pure according to the word of God and the lambs that were to be brought. And then when God would accept that offering, he'd walk back from behind the Holy of Holies, which represented the presence of God, and would come back out before the people and shout, tetelestai, which means it is finished or accomplished. And it is in the same right, but even greater, that Jesus shouts out victoriously that it is finished. And it is finished because he has completed what his Father has assigned unto his hands to do. This completion makes Jesus happy, because here's what Jesus knew, that no other man, no other person, no other power, no other potentate could do what God him Father charged him to do. And it literally cost him his pure and holy life. And here's one of the things that Jesus joyed in. I do always those things which pleases my Father. And so it was pleasing to him to shout out, it is finished. He had to shout it out because he wasn't talking to the folk that were just around him. He was looking up and getting this word all the way to heaven. It is. Matter of fact, I need to tell you, he wasn't looking down when he said, it is. But rather, he was looking at the one, even through the clouds and up to the heavens, and by faith, who had charged him to bring mankind back to him. It is finished. He's on the cross there, and folk looking at him thinks that he's giving up. I can't take no more. There is no more. What else can I do? Is perhaps what they thought when they heard him say, it is finished. But it was not that word. It was a word of victory. A word of completion. A word that he traveled 42 generations through to complete this task. He himself honored his heavenly Father with a work that none other could do. So to complete this assignment, for he was the one who said, we must work the works of him who sent us while it is day. Night cometh when no man can. And he was pleased to say, I completed the work before the sun went down. And so when we begin to look at this word, because again, it is a word of completion, because he says it is finished. But not only is it a word of completion, but it's a word of conquest. See, in other words, to complete this work, he had to conquer something. And he had to conquer the enemy who tried at his birth to take his life, in his ministry to take his life, and even there on the cross to take his life. But he conquered him, and he conquered death. And the record is he conquered hell. Because when he shouted, "It is finished," he was not just looking at the physical act of his work on Calvary, but he was looking at the spiritual implications connected with saying it was finished. It was finished in the spirit before it ever became finished in the flesh. And so when he said, "It is finished," it was a completion of both that work that was done in the flesh and that work that was done in the spirit. Yeah. Oh, but Satan didn't think it was over. But Satan didn't take his life. Yes, he was on the cross, and yes, maybe he thought it was a setup for him to take his life, but the truth of the matter is Jesus set him up to be set up. The Father already knew what was going to happen. Jesus had already had the plan. It was a planned program. Everything was going according to schedule. What Jesus knew was when he tried to take him before the time of his scene, of his act had come, Jesus had to tell him, "It's not my time yet. I know when I'm to come on stage and to do my part. I know my part well. I've been practicing it since eternity. So you're not going to rush me before my time. Mine hour had not yet come." But when his hour came, when those who wanted to defend him from his hour, he said, "What shall I say? Since my hour has come, Lord, save me from this hour." No, no, no. He knew that when it was his time to show up on the stage, to do what only he could do, it was to be done to the glory of God and to ultimately conquer Satan and every diabolical scheme he had to destroy Jesus. Amen. See, the problem was Jesus had not sinned. Jesus was a pure and precious blood before God who knew no sin and could do no sin. Well, he could have done sin, but he chose not to do sin. And so as a result of that, Satan didn't have power over Jesus. He didn't have the ability to do to Jesus what he had done to Adam. And so he thought he had it going on when he fooled the first Adam. But Jesus said, "I don't think you realize I am the second Adam." And the second Adam was preferred before the first Adam and had a power that the first Adam did not have. And so Satan thought it was going to be a repeat of the first scene. Jesus had declared, "You can't take my life. No man taketh my life." And he really was saying that for Satan as well, because he used men to try and to take the life of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus submitted and surrendered until this last part, he let them catch him in the garden. He let them take hold of him and bring him through six judgment trials. He let them nail him to a cross. He let them lift the cross up and drop it down in a hole. He let them scourge him and beat him, slap him and mock him, play him. He let them do all that they had to do, but he was not going to let them take his life. And so while he allowed all of that to go on, it was a part of what he knew would go on beyond that moment. And so it was a word of conquest to let the devil know, "Listen, it is finished, and I'm through with this part." This part that brings man into a right relationship with God. He's got another part to play. It's at the end of the play, but right now he's through with his part. And so when he's through, he takes his curtain bow, for the Bible says he hung his head. And he gave up the ghost. Now, for the next 3 days, you don't hear nothing else really about Jesus. It's everything that's connected with his burial and the fact that the enemy is now working underneath the scene and behind the scene to make sure that 3 days later, this Jesus doesn't get up. But what they don't understand is while his body is in a grave, his soul is down in Hades with the keys, Revelation 1 says, unlocking the cells of all of the spirits who died waiting for him to come. When he shouted, "It is finished," it was a word of conquest. Because even before he got up, he unlocked the works of the enemy. And the whole reason he died on the cross was so that he could have full confirmation of being the one and only one that God could use to bring death to its own end. How does he do that? By dying himself and then bringing to death in a later date, and it's on the schedule. Death is gonna die. Y'all missed that. And he walked through it. Listen at this. He did what death will not be able to do. He died when he got ready. At the time he got ready. And then decided how long he was going to stay dead. But when death dies, it will rise. Oh, I wish I had a helper in there. No more. And so when we begin to look at this, it was a word of conquest. But not only was it a word of conquest, but it was a word of consecration. Because Jesus, when he shouted, "It is finished," he recognized before man and God that he who was consecrated, set apart for holy service, had served in a capacity that he and he alone could serve. Consecrated for this calling, consecrated for this mission, consecrated for eternity's work in this 1 hour. Something not an angel could do, not the best man on earth could do, and no other power could do. Set apart and aside for his assignment. He was anointed and appointed. He was consecrated to redeem mankind. My brothers and sisters, when we begin to look at this word of triumph, this word of victory, this word that shows that God, when he assigns you and anoints you and appoints you to do what he's called you to do, that no matter how bleak and how dark the situation may be, keep your focus on what God has promised you. Listen, because when you see that he was consecrated for this service, make no mistake about it, that every man and woman of God is consecrated for service. If there is no failure in God, and God has called you to an assignment and then anointed you for that assignment, and given you an appointed time for that assignment, when you trust in God, and as you are severed from the world and sacred and set aside for God to do what God wants to be done in your life, when you surrender and submit to his word, will, and way, you too will be able to shout at the end of that assignment, "It is finished." There is no greater joy than the servant to say, "It is finished." You realize how long it took Jesus to fulfill this assignment? In the earth realm, it was 33 and a half years, but when you look at how long it was before the world even began, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So how he longed for this day. How he longed for this hour. How he longed to please his Father with those words. "It is finished. I've consecrated myself to this work. And now," listen at this, he shouts out, "It is finished." And one more thing comes up in the text. It is a word of challenge. Word of challenge. You've got a word of completion. You've got a word of conquest. You've got a word of consecration. Now you have a word of challenge. Because when you begin to look at it, you begin to understand that there are three things in this word of challenge that the believer must have. First of all, there must be the believer's certainty in Christ. And if you look at John 19 and 30 here, you'll see that you've got to be certain that when he said, "It is finished," gave up the ghost, the Bible says, bowed his head and gave up the ghost, that you are certain that he was not defeated, but he was rather the victor who said, "Game is over." You've got to be certain as a believer that it was what Jesus had come to do. You've got to be certain that Jesus was in control of the situation all the way through. And may I say this to you, as you are certain as a believer, that even as a believer, that when you go through things, and you'll have to go through things even as a victor, that things are going to go arise sometimes seemingly to the end of the plan. But when you hold to the end of the plan and recognize as the believer who is certain that Jesus, who is our author and finisher of our faith, has demonstrated that even though you have the power, you still have got to go through the process, then you begin to realize, wait a minute, what I'm going through is not just for me. Jesus went through all that he went through so somebody could say, "Thank you, Lord, for going through this and showing me how to be a victor." So somebody will look back and see everything that Jesus dealt with. He says, "Know that if the world hates you, that it hated me before it hated you. But I've overcome the world." And listen to why he's done it. So that you might overcome. Jesus, listen, walked through everything he walked through because he was in alignment with the fulfilling of Scripture. He did it so that Scripture might be filled, that it might be fulfilled, that it might be completed. He did it so that we would know that if you're going to walk through whatever you're going through, it's going to have to be by the word. Scripture. That Scripture might be fulfilled. He had to walk through his test and his trials by the word. Some of you going through some stuff and you're wondering how you're going to get through it. I have a helpful holy hint for you. Check the word out. It is a prescription for all of our pains. It's capable of doing everything God said it can do. You just need to know what you're doing, and you get those instructions by the word. So not only must this be a certainty in Christ for the believer, but it also must be the believer's victory in Christ. Now, if Jesus didn't do this for himself, and he didn't, he never sinned, so he needed not be crucified. He needed not be hung. He needed not to die for himself. So if he didn't do it for himself, then what is the purpose of all that he endured? For you and for me. So that we can become victors. So that we can utilize the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ made clear was the victory for the believers, so that the believers can operate in the earth realm with the authority and the ability to emulate Jesus. Every time you operate like Jesus, you scare the devil. When you start speaking authoritatively like Jesus did, the devil starts wondering if that's a him again. The devil needs a daily reminder from the believers that this is the real Jesus on the inside of me. And every time he hears that word coming forth out of you, he knows he's got to bow to that authority, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If Jesus whipped him on the cross and he knows the final showdown is not yet, he gets scared because he can't overpower Jesus. No, the word that Jesus has given the believers. Whatsoever you bind on earth. Click, click. I'm going to lock it up in heaven. Whatever you unlock on earth, click, click. I'm going to unlock it in heaven. When you know how to use this word, it becomes a weapon. And listen at this. The enemy becomes afraid of you, because when you can wield this weapon the way Jesus did it and say, it is written. For every situation and circumstance, God has a word for it. That's going to come one day, one time, when you'll be able to say like Jesus, it is finished. And make no mistake about it. Don't get scared. Some of us are scared to be able to say it is finished. Remember, you're not saying I am finished. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. But you're saying it is finished. That assignment is finished. Finish. That you've given me to do is finished. And I have done it to your glory. I have fulfilled every letter of the law. The devil can't bring nothing back and bring nothing up to say that I have not completed it, because I did it the way you said, do it. And so that must be the believer's victory in Christ. But then last, there must be the believer's ministry in Christ. And it's all right there in that verse as well. Because Jesus showed to us that his ministry was also the driving force to bring him and the people to that point of Calvary. You see, the only reason why he really healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, and all of the other wonderful things he did was to draw attention through his ministry to his messiahship. See, it was through the ministry that they got to meet the Messiah. And some of y'all miss it if your ministry don't point back to Jesus. If people can't see Jesus in your ministry, then you might not be in ministry, you might be in mess.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT.